What happens when a horse-crazy girl grows up, gets her horse, and then discovers it can't be ridden? As News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams explains in this week's essay, it fell on the men in her life to solve that dilemma.
With all due respect to Anna Freud, I never equated my horse craziness with any fevery sublimation, but rather with my ravenous appetite for freedom. Sometimes a horse is just a horse, which can be more than enough for the earthbound. For me, loping into the wind, borne on equine muscle, hair whipping, mare's tail flying, is exhilaration bordering on the sublime. So as a kid, I always swore I'd rather have a horse than a car, utterly oblivious to adult realities. This was in keeping with my similarly impractical career goal to become a veterinarian, a laughable absurdity for a synesthetic someone for whom numbers are a fluttery cloud of colors. I also could never have predicted reproducing, or even getting married for that matter. Well, the joke's certainly been on me, now a much-in-love mother of two whose only contact with veterinary medicine is as a consumer. And I did get my horse, but she's never been rideable. A lovely little caramel and cream mare, Rocinante belonged to an old man who'd left her in a flooded pasture where her legs were lacerated by fence wire, then infected by filthy water. She was rescued and given to me by big-hearted vet John Davis, who spent more than a year surgically retooling the delicate machinery of Rosie's legs. Though she returned to galloping soundness, whatever had gone wrong in her psyche never healed. The mare tolerated me, just barely, probably thanks to my crooning sweet talk and apple chunks. Eventually, I was able to work with her a little, stroking her with a soft bristled brush and finger-combing her mane. Then, one morning, she hauled off and clobbered me with her hind feet, breaking two of my ribs. That kick came without explanation or provocation, probably thanks to some human in her past who taught her to strike or be struck. Meanwhile, I had fallen wildly in love with a man from a Colorado ranching family, and eventually we settled down to live out our new life. That man, Roger, understood me so well that his gift to me on our first Christmas together was not glittery silliness, but a finely crafted South American riding saddle, its gleaming hand-rubbed leather promising a future of happy trails, but not, alas, with Rosie. Over the years, it became my mare was damaged beyond my ability to repair. So Rosie, to whom we're as attached as we are to our ancient joke of a donkey, settled down to live out her life in our pasture, and the saddle sat in a back bedroom, unused. Even if I couldn't use it as I wanted, it was still a beautiful thing that I liked knowing was there, a metaphor more apt than I'd like for my life with Roger. The wild love that brought us together is there, of course, but often in the day-to-day churn of life, we sometimes feel more like two mules in harness together. Then, a couple of months ago, Roger and the boys led me down the road for a walk. There's a boarding stable at the end, and I, of course, always like looking at the horses. Instead of pausing at the fence to gaze in, though, Roger, Nash, and DP marched right through the gate, beckoning me to follow. I protested, but they assured me the stable owner had told them they could visit any time. So I let myself be led up the path into the barn to a stall where a silky bay mare gazed at us with huge chocolate eyes. Roger pointed to the boards of her door where a hand-lettered sign proclaimed her mine with love from them. Her name is Lucy. She is friendly. She is beautifully trained. And my saddle fits her perfectly.